Have you ever wanted a concise resource on the history of Christianity from the time of the apostles through today? Well, we have just the book for you. It's titled The Church from Age to Age, A History from Galilee to Global Christianity. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Church from Age to Age by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Church from Age to Age, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
We have gathered in Tampa from many countries around the world. This is quite a moment in the story of United Methodism.
The overseas, chiefly the Africans, will become a majority of the denomination within 10 years or less. And with that, it's almost impossible for the liberal side of the church to prevail.
There comes a time when all of us are going to face some of the limitations that come with age. And we're a youth-obsessed society that really doesn't know how to deal, first of all, with death, and secondly, with aging in a graceful way.
I think it's great to expose our kids, to expose the church to that. And I think for far too long, the church has sort of stifled creativity.
I think Ed Young has a way of getting his point across without live animals as props, as entertainment.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
The most famous story in the book of Acts may be Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, but right before that comes a story we ought to take note of, which is a story of baptism. It's a story of Lydia, the seller of purple, who is baptized and becomes a believer there in Philippi, the beginning of the church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, April the 30th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us here for the first few minutes to teach a Sunday school lesson on Lydia, Acts chapter 16. A little bit later, Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby will continue our series on family vocation. We'll talk about the vocation of parenthood. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be with us in just, near the second hour, later in the first hour, to talk about two movies, Safe and Pirates, Band of Misfits. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
This is the lesser-known story of Paul and Silas in Philippi. The better-known story is the jail story, the jailbreak. But this one comes before. And this one is really a story about a conversion, a baptism. How important was baptism in the ministry of Paul and the other apostles?
Well, it was of high importance, central importance, because through baptism, people are brought into the family of God. They're granted faith. They're given forgiveness, life, and salvation through no action of their own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the water and the Word. So the apostles knew this. The disciples had witnessed Jesus' baptism and the work of John early on and at the start of Jesus' ministry. This is part and parcel of what it is to be a Christian. To be Christian is to be baptized, to receive the gifts of salvation and forgiveness and life, and to receive the Holy Spirit. All of that comes through God's Word and simple water that come together to give us life. So it's at the heart of everything that they're doing, and very important as they go about preaching the Word of God. With that always comes then the baptizing of the people that they might have life.
Tell us the story of their encounter with Lydia.
Sure. It's just a few verses here tucked in Acts 16. Paul is on his journey, and they're sailing from Troas, and they come to Philippi. It's a leading city in Macedonia. It's also a Roman colony. They're there for some days, and on the Sabbath, they go outside the gate to the riverside, looking for a place of prayer. Apparently, there was no synagogue there in Philippi at the time, and so they go out by the riverside thinking there would be a place of prayer there, and there are women gathered there, and they speak to these women. There's no mention of men, but it's noted in the text that there are women there, and one in particular, a woman named Lydia, a woman who sells purple, purple goods, clothing and cloth and those kinds of things. And it says she was a worshiper of God. The text beautifully says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. The Lord caused her to pay attention, opening her heart. The very next verse, after she was baptized, and her household as well. And she urged us, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And then she provides hospitality to her new pastor, the one who had preached salvation to her. So very few short verses, but at the heart of it is the preaching of the Word of God, the baptism of one to bring them in to the family of God and to impart his gifts of salvation.
Now, we heard this phrase connected with Peter and the other apostles earlier in the book of Acts when they are doing a lot of Gentile baptisms, and it is that the person is baptized and their whole household. We're going to hear it again at the end of the jailer of Philippi story. The jailer of Philippi is going to be baptized and his whole household. What should we make of that way of talking about baptism for whole households?
Well, I think, you know, we have to take that at face value. If I say to you, you know, will your whole household come to my home tonight for dinner, you would bring wife and children, everyone who's part of your family, young or old, infants or not. When people invite my household now, that includes my elderly mother who lives with us. And so while it doesn't say that infants were among that, in all of those different ways, by simply saying and whole household, we can understand that age was not a factor in who could come to be baptized, who could hear the Word of God, who could have faith. None of those, no criteria there is given. It's simply the whole household was baptized. And that really is a good argument for support for what we confess as Lutherans, that infant baptism is indeed valid and is something that God commands that all be baptized, including the little ones.
So this is, while it appears to be a chance meeting between Paul and Lydia, it sounds like there's nothing left to chance here with respect to how the Lord is directing events there in Philippi.
Well, I think that's right. Yeah, God doesn't work on chance, does he? This is all part of it. While like you say, it may seem that they just sort of happened by there, God brought these events and these people together at this riverside so that Lydia would hear the saving word and would come to faith and her household as well. And God works that way through his people. He causes encounters and events that to us just seem rather circumstantial, rather ordinary, part of the flow of life. But God uses all of that to allow his word to be proclaimed, people to hear it, to believe it, and to be saved. So you have that happening here, and we know it's significant because it's recorded for us in the Word of God in this text, just five verses. About a woman, Lydia. We don't know anything more than that. She was a seller of purple, and she obviously had a household. And I think in that day, when we speak of the whole household, we're even talking about servants and servants' families, you know, that anybody who was part of that household, not just the immediate homeowner's wife and children, but servants as well. And so we have this... This her coming to faith and her family, beautiful, simple story of that. And it's done through God's word being preached, God opening hearts, and the waters of holy baptism being poured.
Now, she also appears there at the very end of that account after their release from prison. They go back to her house. They visit her, and then it speaks of her and her household and perhaps others. It's hard to tell. As when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them, and they departed. This is the beginning of a Philippi church, isn't it?
That's exactly right. What scholars think is that there probably wasn't a church there, probably wasn't a synagogue even there, because you needed 10 believing Jews, 10 Jew males, to form a synagogue. So the reason to be out by the river, there wasn't a formal place of worship. And this was... she and her household and others preached to on this journey where Paul is passing through, were the start of the church. And Lydia is known traditionally as the first one, though all of this, you know, happened together with her family. And that from that church, you know, we have then the letter of from Paul to the Philippians, and that would grow, and God would add to it as he was all throughout that part of the world, growing his church through the preaching of his word, through baptism, in wondrous ways. And the book of Acts recounts much of that in vivid, wondrous detail as to how Paul, or how God was working in his new church. And then you see the continuation of that as Paul nurtures that all these little churches, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, by sending letters, giving them direction, giving them encouragement, promising his prayer, continuing to teach them, to visit them, to provide for them spiritually as their pastor, or and as time went on, really as a bishop, because there would be men among them that would be appointed to preach and be their pastors. And that's how the church grows.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be with us for about another 10 minutes. We're talking about Lydia in Acts chapter 16. The question on the other side of the break is, has anything changed in 2,000 years? Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 30th of April. Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, is our guest. We're going through a Sunday school lesson in Acts chapter 16, the story of Lydia down by the river. She is baptized. She is, at least in terms of converts, the beginning of the Philippian church. Next, she will be joined by the Philippian jailer and his whole household. Her whole household is baptized. It really is a baptism story. Now, before the break, you were talking about this beginning of the Philippian church, Pam. I wonder, has anything changed? I mean, it's been 2,000 years. This is Philippi. It's a long ways away, both in time and space. But is Jesus still planting and growing and sustaining his church in exactly this same way today?
Absolutely. He works through his word. He works through his people, through his word preached, his word taught, by men called into the holy ministry, and by people living out their vocations, as Lydia was within her family. She heard the word preached. She was baptized, and she brings her family. In all of these accounts in the New Testament, you see this sort of thing. It's preached, it's heard, it's believed, and then people go and tell. How can you not tell? And that's what goes on today. The Christian who goes to work in the factory or the office or the hospital, wherever they're called in their vocation to serve, and in the course of daily life and living out their vocations, they have opportunity to witness their faith to others who may talk to them about it or may be troubled about something, and they have opportunity to invite them to come and hear the word preached. And the church, through this, the church goes on. The pastors preach, they baptize, they forgive sins. It happens every week, and God's people come to the divine service. They're fed, they're nourished. They go out into the world, into their vocations. They share their faith. They invite others to hear that saving word. And the Holy Spirit does his work and opens hearts. It's not the opening of hearts is not our work. God uses us in that, but it is the Holy Spirit who does it. And that's very clear in this text as well, that the Lord opened her heart to pay attention. So we bring people to church. We bring our coworker, our neighbor, our friend, our teenager who's walked away from the church. It's not our burden for them to have to hear, to worry, are they getting it? Are they understanding it? We simply bring them to God's Word and let God, in his word, through his Holy Spirit, open their heart to receive the truth. And yes, indeed, this is how it goes on even today and will until Christ comes again.
We've kind of complicated things a little bit, or at least we think we have found better ways to do this. It depends on what era you're talking about, but nowadays it's kind of considered, well, you wouldn't just start a church by preaching the gospel to somebody, by having someone baptized. You got to have property. You got to have a building plan. You got to have all of this. And you certainly wouldn't grow a church by just doing something like that. I mean, you really got to have a complicated plan to grow a church. Speak to what really betrays, Pam, perhaps our lack of trust in God's means of planting and growing his church. Speak to that, if you would.
Well, I think that's, you've hit the nail on the head, because when we think we have to do A, B, C, D, or X, Y, or Z, or whatever it is, where we're putting up new rules, new hoops to jump through, new criteria that go beyond God's word and what he's said and what he's promised to do through that word, then we're putting our trust not in him and his word, but in us, in our doings, in our dealings, in our way of going about things, and in that we have turned away from the truth. We've turned away in a way that is hurtful to the church, that is hurtful to the people we're trying to reach with his word, and it is a constant battle and a temptation. Do we want our church to be nice when visitors come? Yes. But does having it nice gonna make them God's believer? No, only that word preached. And, you know, the most, I think, still a pure example of this, going on today without all the entrapments that we think we have to add to God's word in order that people might want to join or believe. On the mission field, you know, I hear from pastors in Kenya how they have evangelists, and they give them a Bible, they give them some pictures, Bible stories, they send them out into the bush, and they go where they find people, and they begin to preach the word of God, and they begin to teach it there in the village, on the dirt road, in the jungle. That's going on in places around the world, and through God's word, people are being saved, not through fancy buildings and accoutrements and all the structures and plans and strategies that we think we must cook up to grow the church. In fact, the church grows only by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We preach the word. That's what his word tells us to do.
Pam, we've only got about 1 minute here. We started with baptism. Let's end with baptism. What is the miracle that Christ was doing there in Philippi with Lydia through the hands of Paul in baptism that he has continued consistently, according to his own word and promise, to do with believer after believer after believer into the billions for the last 2,000 years? What is Christ doing through baptism even today?
Well, he is giving forgiveness of sins. He is imparting his Holy Spirit, who now dwells in those who are baptized. He's incorporating these baptized ones into his own death and resurrection and giving them a new life in himself, giving them salvation. All of the many, many gifts that God speaks about, all of these things come to the one who is baptized, and they come through the word and through the water. And, you know, we confess in the Nicene Creed, one baptism for the remission of sins, the baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift in all that it gives us and gives each one baptized, infant, adult, child, elderly person, whenever in life they are brought to the font. They receive the gifts of God, in short, forgiveness, life, and salvation, and in long form, all that God wants to give, all that he's prepared for us from before the beginning of time, because of his love for us, all that he's promised us, we receive because of his Son, because of the power of his Holy Spirit in water, in his word attached to that water. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. It's a present reality. We don't get eternal life. We're living in it now. We will never die. Gifts too amazing too many to list. And the same gifts that were given to Lydia, to those gathered at the river there that day, in all the places in Scripture we read about baptism, and the baptism we witnessed last week or last month in our own church, on the ones taking place across the world, where faithful Christians are gathered, imparting the Word of God, hearing it preached, and baptizing new believers, making them new members of the family. It's beautiful, and it goes on.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
We base our conversations every week with Pam Nielsen on a great Sunday school curriculum that is produced by Concordia Publishing House. It's been out for several years, but it covers the major text of the Bible in an ongoing curriculum for all ages, and it does it in a way, as you can see from our weekly conversations, that focus entirely upon God and his work in Christ. Now, there are a lot of Sunday school curricula that would focus on other things, namely your own piety, your own moral progress, maybe the church's responsibility to come up with one of those trendy ideas about how to plant and grow churches. Not growing in Christ. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can browse before you buy right there at our website, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them for a free sample of Growing in Christ. They'd be happy to send it to you. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Now, if you appreciate our weekly Sunday school lessons with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and I know many of you do, please consider making a gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. No gift is ever too small. For any size donation, we will send you a CD of two sermons of mine, one from Easter and the other from Ascension. For any size gift during the Easter season, you can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind all through the 50 days of Easter. When we come back, Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby will join us. We're going to be talking about family vocations, vocations of parenthood.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I'm not advocating for or against any presidential candidate, but Mitt Romney's conversion to pro-life has gotten scrutiny, and I believe it's real. For 20 years, Life Issues Institute has been dedicated to pro-life education. We rejoice whenever hearts and minds are changed on abortion. Governor Romney was thoroughly educated on fetal development at its earliest stages and responded to factual information, just like George Bush Sr. did when Dr. Wilkie gave him a thorough briefing on abortion and fetal development. As Vice President and President, Mr. Bush carried his pro-life convictions because they were built on a foundation of factual pro-life education. This isn't an endorsement of Mitt Romney, but I do believe his conversion to pro-life is honest and genuine. It shows we all have the power of education to save lives.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.